We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Certainly not a stranger to our church is Dr. Charles Shoemaker. Many of you know him, you know his story. You know that he is involved in Church Planting America. We have specifically and strategically planned for him to be here this night so that he might share with us about church planting, Church Planting America, what they're doing, why they're doing it, give you an update. He's got some things he's going to share. Dr. Shoemaker has been, perhaps to me, I would say, one of my biggest mentors, help, and not just to me, but honestly, church, to so many. I think I've shared this with the church before, but with all of his education, all of his experience, really, he could probably go and do whatever he wanted. But I think the thing that I love most about him is his love for people. It wasn't that long ago he flew all the way up to the backside of Alaska and was ministering to 30 little people. And this is a guy here, a man of God, that loves people, loves churches, and loves to see the work of God go forward. He's been a huge help to our church, a huge help to me, the staff. We had lunch today. We did staff training. And he knows when he comes here, I work him to death. And so, but I did reward you. I took you to Starbucks. There was a little selfishness in that, I think. But would you please make Dr. Shoemaker welcome as he comes?
Amen. All right. I'm glad to be here. In fact, after riding around town with your pastor, I'm glad to be anywhere. Take your Bible tonight, if you would. Find the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I want to thank you for praying for our little twin granddaughters. When I was here last January, I mentioned my daughter was due to have those babies, and she did March 10th, two identical twin girls. And I am doing everything I can to get them to say my name first, Papa, Papa, I keep saying, and then their wicked, very wicked father is trying to get them to say Dada. So the battle is ensuing. With that. But at any rate, I thank you for your prayers. Everything went well with that, and they're doing great, and we're grateful for that. Jimmy White, wow, I'm telling you, I have known Jimmy White for 18 years. And when he first walked on the campus of Trinity Baptist College, he was a hellion. I mean it. He was. In fact, the dean of students, Brother Grover, you know Mike Grover, threatened to quit if I didn't do something with Jimmy. This guy was too much. But the grace of God in his life is unreal. He is very, very close to our family. In fact, when I would travel there when I was with Trinity Baptist College and I'd be gone quite a bit, he would come over and do whatever my wife needed him to do. I mean, just anything. He just jumped on board. But it took a while to get him to that point, I promise you. And we're so excited about Adie, his wife, and their babies and the ministry they have going on in Togo. And again, you're supporting a wonderful young couple in missions. They're doing a great job. We're grateful for that. But we're here tonight to talk a little bit about church planting. And I want you to look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 and 7. Paul, writing to this church at Corinth, said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, Paul was the church planter. That is, if you're unfamiliar with that term, it just simply means starting a new church. So Paul was the one that went to Corinth, to this city, and planted this church, started this church. Apollos, another preacher, came after Paul and carried on the ministry. So that's what he is saying. I planted, Apollos watered, but notice this last statement in verse 6, but God gave the increase. Whenever anything spiritually happens, God gives the increase. Listen, as gifted as Paul was, as brilliant as Apollos was, it wasn't all about Paul and it wasn't all about Apollos, it was all about Jesus. It's all about the Lord. And that's exactly the way it is here in your church, and that's exactly the way it is over in Togo, West Africa. Any church that is doing what the Bible says to do, it's always about the Lord. Not about the leaders, it's about the Lord. Now, verse 7, he says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Someone said this, the mission of the church is missions, and the mission of missions is church planting. That's a great thought. See, the church is all about reaching people, whether it's done here locally, or it's done globally, Whether it's done in Togo, West Africa, or it's done here in Florida, it doesn't matter. The mission is to reach people for Jesus Christ. And the heart of all that is church planting. How many years did you say this church has been in existence? 45 years in April. Somebody planted this church. Somebody came. I don't know the story. You probably do. But somebody came to this community, and maybe with a handful of folks, or maybe just the pastor and his wife, probably no money, and they came and they started this church. And here we are now nearly 45 years later, and what a blessing. How many people have been saved through this ministry? How many lives have been straightened out? How many homes have been helped? It's incredible. So church planting is really where it's at. Every church at some point was planted. Just like all of us, we were born. This church was born. Church planting. The Apostle Paul was a church planter. In fact, the Bible records some three missionary journeys that he took going and planting churches along the way. When we think of Paul, we often understand the fact that he was a great preacher, certainly a wonderful teacher. No question about it, he was a writer. Half the New Testament comes to us at the hand of Paul. A deep theologian. If you doubt that, read the book of Romans. And yet, on top of all of that, and maybe at the core of all that, what Paul was a church planter. He had such an insatiable desire to see lost people come to Christ that he wanted to birth churches so that those churches could then reach more people. That was his heart. That was his desire. Missions is all about church planting, whether, again, globally or locally. It doesn't matter. We rejoice in every soul that is saved by every missionary wherever they are that you support. I mean, the converts here are no better than the converts somewhere else. They're all people for whom Christ died. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, not just America, not just Florida, not just us, but the world. And that's what church planting is all about. I want you to see three things quickly about church planting, three thoughts I'm going to share with you, and then I'm going to introduce you to some church planters just by way of putting them on the screen, telling just a minute or so about each one of them so that you can actually attach, you know, some real people to this mission of planting churches. Three things I want you to see. First of all, we need to plant churches because there is a problem. There's no question about it. There is a problem. As with the Apostle Paul, there are at least two major spiritual needs or problems here in the United States. You say, what are they? Number one, there are people without Christ. And number two, there are places without churches. Now, people without Christ. It doesn't matter how many churches you dump into a community. I promise you there still will be people in that community without Jesus. I live in Jacksonville, Florida. At last count, there are over 400 Baptist churches in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, Jacksonville is a city of nearly a million people. Let's say a million people. 400 Baptist churches. If each of those churches averaged 1,000 people a Sunday, that would mean that out of a million, 400,000 people would be in Baptist churches. And by the way, there are other gospel preaching churches there as well. But the point is, there's still hundreds of thousands of people without Christ. Even in a city that is incredibly populated by Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches. You say, well, why are we starting new churches? Because I want to tell you another city. It's called Portland, Oregon. Last month, I spent 3 weeks up in Portland, or the greater Portland area. And that's a city of about 600,000 or 700,000 people. And I would suggest to you there are fewer than a dozen gospel preaching churches in that city. So the need is immense. You get out of the Bible Belt, the whole thing changes. I mean, it's a different story when you go other places. I've given you some statistics before, and I don't want to go over that. In fact, last year, that's exactly what I spoke on the entire evening when I came, was why plant churches. And I gave you 7 or 8 or 9 reasons why we need to do that. Let me quickly mention a couple of these. Do you realize in the last decade, from 2000 to 2010, on average, every year in the United States, 3,750 churches closed their doors. Out of business. Every year, 3,750 churches. Done. over with. In 1920, there were 27 churches in America for every 10,000 citizens. By 1950, it was down to 17 churches for every 10,000 Americans. By 2004, it was 11 churches for every 10,000 Americans. And now today, we're down to 9 churches for every 10,000 Americans. So we're not going in the right direction. We got a problem. We're not headed in the right direction. 2/3 of this country, at least, are without Christ. Between 1900 and 2000, that 100-year segment of time, the churches in the United States increased by 50%, but the population quadrupled. So even though we added more churches, we're woefully short of what we need to impact this country with the gospel. Our motto at Church Planting America is impacting America one church at a time. And we just believe if we can start enough churches, and by the way, revitalize some other churches, we can get this job done, or at least make an effort. Right now, the United States, based on need and population, is the third largest mission field in the world today. Hard to believe, but it is. So there's a problem. Our nation is growing. We have fewer churches. People without Christ, something has to be done. But secondly, I want you to understand there's a plan. You say, what's the plan? Well, it's Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible tells us to go into all the world. We're to be witnesses. We're to share the gospel. That commission, that great commission, is found in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. And that great commission is all about winning people to Christ. And by the way, then discipling the converts. Folks, it's not enough just to win people. We have to win people, then disciple people. And by the way, that's how you birth a church. When we train these church planters, our desire is not that we have what I call the rotation of the saints. The rotation of the saints is that people in church A simply move to church B, and people in church B move to church C, and person in church C to D. That's not what we want. We want to go out and reach new people, win new converts, see people who know nothing of Jesus Christ come to Christ. And that's what it's all about. Now, a careful reading of the book of Acts reveals that the early church implemented the Great Commission by planting churches. The Apostle Paul and several others, with him Barnabas and others, planted high-impact churches in key cities: Derbe, Lystra, Antioch, Corinth, Thessalonica, Ephesus, Philippi, and the list goes on. All of them planting churches. They did it then, and we need to do it now. Church planting. So there is a plan. I like to say it this way: God's plan hasn't failed, it just hasn't worked. We just haven't worked it. We just haven't had a heart for it. We haven't had a burden for it. I think we don't see the long view. Sometimes, even with missions, our mindset is, well, we need to put all of the money into international missions. Well, folks, do you realize that? If we don't put some money out of missions into church planting, then the missionaries like Jimmy White and his sweet wife, Adie, who want to go to the field, won't get to the field because there won't be enough churches to support them to go. Part of church planting is to see those churches mature and grow to the point where they then can support missionaries. And we're seeing that happen. And that's a wonderful thing. That's God's plan. That's how it should work. But the third thought I want to give to you is that there's partnership. Partnership. Paul, understanding this awesome assignment that God had given to him, he realized, even in spite and in light of all the spiritual warfare, he could not do it alone. The job could be done, but he couldn't do it by himself. He needed partners. He needed a team. He needed other people. And that's where churches like Faith Baptist Church comes in. Maybe God would call somebody, pastor, out of your church to go plant a church. That'd be a wonderful thing. That'd be a great thing. But at least you can partner by praying, and at least you can partner by giving. Paul really made two requests. If you study the Bible when it comes to church planting, he made two requests. He said in Ephesians, and I'm not going to take you there, but in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, his first request was pray for us. Pray for us. I make that same request of you. Pray for us. Pray for Church Planting America. Pray for these images that you're going to see in a few moments, these young couples that are out there planting churches. We need prayer. Can't do it without that. Just as you need prayer to do what you're doing here and reaching this community and this county for Jesus Christ, these church planters need prayer. We need prayer as we try to help these church planters. The second request that Paul had, it was given in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, and that was, I need money. That's what he was saying. I need your gifts. He said, not that it would go to me necessarily, but that it would abound spiritually and make a difference spiritually. You make an investment in Jim and 80, and you make that investment by praying for them, and you make that investment by supporting them. You realize you have a part in every blessing that they get. Every soul that is saved, every life that is changed, every church that is planted, you have some ownership in that. You support our ministry, for which we're thankful. Deeply thankful. Do you realize that all of the people that we're going to put on a screen here in a few moments, every one of these young couples, do you realize you have a part in that? Because through our ministry, we've been able to help them. Some to a greater extent than others. Some have more needs than others. But because of the partnership we have together, and that's the way missions works, is through partnership, you're able to extend well beyond the reach of this community, all across this country, and literally all across the world. And folks, that ought to excite you. That ought to thrill your heart when you go home and realize that grace giving that you place into that offering plate each and every week, do you realize how many hearts are being touched and how many lives and how many souls and how many churches? That should just encourage you to realize you have a part in that. It's all about that. It's teamwork, and we're grateful for that. Several years ago, and I've told you this before, but the Lord put on my heart to found an organization that was given over exclusively to church planting in America. Hence the name, Church Planting America. It's that simple. I'm grateful that your pastor serves on our board of directors. I appreciate his wisdom and encouragement and energy that he brings. And we have wonderful pastors and others that help us in this. People ask me all the time, what do we do? It's real simple. We want to help these church planters be successful. We don't want one of them to fail. The tragedy is about 50% of the Baptist churches that start in America die within 3 years. About 50%. So what can we do to help them be successful? What do they need? How can we help them be successful? And so some of the things we do is try to help them up front to realize, is this what God really wants for their life? Do you realize not everybody is suited to go out and plant a church, just like not everybody's suited to go to Togo, West Africa? God doesn't call everybody to pastor Faith Baptist Church. He called this man the pastor of this church. So it may not be that God wants everybody to do that, but sometimes we have to think, as Paul would say in Romans 12, think soberly about our gifts. And so we help them analyze, is this really what they're supposed to do? Do they understand the price that's going to be paid to go out and plant churches? Sharon and I have done it. I promise you, several times, it can be a lonely experience. Whenever a person calls our office and says, I want to talk to Dr. Shoemaker about planting a church, my daughter, who answers the phone, and she and her husband have planted a church, she always says, Dad, let me talk to him. Let me talk to him. Because she thinks I'll get real excited about him wanting to plant a church, and I might not tell exactly how it is. She said, let me talk to him. I'll tell it how it is. And she's not trying to discourage anybody, but the reality is it's not an easy life to go out and plant a church. It's difficult. And then training, all kinds of training. On evangelism, on discipleship, on leadership development. The list goes on. I do a lot of that. Mentoring and counseling. In fact, for years I mentored this guy on the screen earlier tonight. In fact, he got mad at me one time. He didn't talk to me for 6 months. You know what a mentor is? A mentor is a shoulder to cry on, a brain to pick, and a kick in the seat of the pants. And he liked the shoulder, and he liked what he didn't like was the kick in the seat of the pants. And I had to give it to him one time. He got so mad at me, literally, for 6 months, he wouldn't talk to me. Now he came back and apologized, and we're good, and everything's great. But mentoring sometimes can be a little rough. Mentoring doesn't tell somebody what they want to hear, it's what they need to hear. What they need to hear. And then there's prayer. Then there's encouragement. Then there's legal issues, writing bylaws and constitutions and all of that type of thing, and building issues, and then raising money. We try to raise money. In fact, this is what we call National Church Planting Month, the month of October, where we have a goal as a board of directors to raise money, thousands of dollars, to help these churches that have needs. So having said all of that, let's go to the screen, and we'll try to go through these as quickly as we can. And just put one of them up, whoever's, there we go. This is the Blackburn family. In fact, they were going to come to your church at one point, but Ben got sick, and I wish you'd pray for him because he's still not well. It was about a year ago, I believe, when he was supposed to come. The church is a year and a half old. They met in a fairground building, and after they were there 4 weeks, they got a telephone call. He's right outside of Columbus, Ohio. Got a telephone call from pastor of the only other little Baptist church in town. And here's what the pastor said. He said, "I'm leaving town. You can have the building." Ben calls me and says, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, the pastor can't just give you the building. We got to do it right." Thankfully, we have an attorney on our board of directors who then connected, and they were able to work out all the paperwork. There was a small mortgage left on the building, but do you realize he pays less for 10 acres in a building than he paid at the fairgrounds? And had he not been there, that would have been one of the 3,750 churches that closed. Year and a half old. The next one. This is the Denny family. The Denny family, they're, by the way, this family and the last one, both graduates of Trinity Baptist College. The Dennys are serving in Massachusetts. Now, you want to know a needy state? Massachusetts. You can fire a shotgun in four directions and probably not hit a Baptist church. I mean, it's tough. They got an old white building in the center of town. Again, another building out of business. They got their hands on it. And they've done a lot of remodeling, but what they needed was chairs, just like you're sitting on. And through our National Church Planting money, we were able to buy those chairs for them and help them with that project. The next one, Herzog family. This church is almost to the point where we're not going to call it a new church now. It's 3.5 years old. They got one of those closed buildings. Got the building, about 120 seats in the auditorium, offices, Sunday school space, a gymnasium, and a parsonage with 4 bedrooms for free. Church was closed. Michael went up there. He's from Buffalo, New York. That's outside of Buffalo is where this church plant takes place. And by the way, you either got to be called or crazy to go to Buffalo. I mean, it is colder than a mother-in-law's kiss. It is cold in the winter. And they started that church, precious family. Every time I turn around, there's another child. So that's not even accurate. I think there's two beyond that. But at any rate, long nights in Buffalo. But nonetheless, this guy is doing a super job. Pastor, you know him really well. Just great. By the way, that church now supports 5 missionaries. Five missionaries. 3.5 years old. Let's go to the next one. The Hesse family. You support. Just started. Great young guy. I was there just a little bit over a year ago for the organizational service of that church. Just great, great kids, young people just doing well. And I can't say enough about this family. Tremendous. I'm so thankful you're supporting them. The church is about a year and a half old. Let's go to the next. The Huffman family. This guy, Tom, the man, is a real case. And I'm not going to tell a whole lot about him. He went and planted this church, City Baptist Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Unmarried, just went out and did it. My wife and I went to the church. The neighborhood was so rough, I thought my wife was going to weep. When we pulled in, I won't even have the time to tell you everything about that. They had no air conditioning. They had no fan. It was in the summertime. It was about 110 degrees. And I said, Tom, how do you expect people to come? He said, they'll come. They'll come. He invited some children from an Indian reservation. He put on his website, "The Indians are coming, the Indians are coming." And I said, "Tom, that's not good. Here's what you need." He says, "What do I need?" I said, "You need a woman. You need a wife. You've got zeal. You've got Bible knowledge. You have no sense. You need a wife." And God delivered a woman to him for which we're so grateful. A precious lady, and they're doing well. Thank God for that. In a real tough part of the world. Let's go on to the next one. Ermler family, California, San Jose, California, year and a half old. There are 80,000 Vietnamese in San Jose, California, in that one city. There's only one other independent Baptist church in a city of 1 million people. There's a couple Southern Baptist churches and a few General Conference Baptist churches. But I'm telling you, you talk about a need. This church is a year and a half old. They're already self-supporting. He called me. He was hysterical. I'm driving to Tallahassee from Jacksonville to preach in a meeting. The phone rings in my car. I pick it up. He's hysterical. I said, Micaiah, what is the problem? He said, I had a building, a place to meet. It was a part of a motel. I was going to meet in their banquet room. I had everything signed. Everything was fine. He said, we're 2 weeks out from actually having his first Sunday. He said, I went by there just to check to make sure that everything was okay. It was an Asian man who ran the motel. And when he talked to the Asian man said, I've got good news for you. He said, what's the good news? He said, another church wants to meet here too. We'll put both churches together. Well, it wasn't even a Bible-believing church. So he calls, what do I do? At any rate, God delivered. They met in a movie theater. They're still meeting in the movie theater and doing quite well. Let's go to the next one. The Lawson family, Terry Lawson. You talk about a Southern boy. In fact, he went to your dad's church over in England. Tom, you remember him? Went there. He had a group called the Joint Heirs. Three big guys. And I won't tell the rest of the story, but incredible. But old Terry went out to... He told me he's going to Washington State. I thought, boy, that seems like a mismatch for a Southern North Carolina boy. And then I thought, well, if he goes to East Washington, that'll be okay. He said, no, I'm going to the Seattle area. And that is liberal with a capital L, progressive with a capital P. And here, bless his soul. Anyway, they're doing well. I just had a conversation with him this week. He's been about 2.5 years now. And is chipping them out of the rock one at a time, just little by little by little by little, running about 60 folks, which is really quite good given the situation. Taylor family, do you support them?
No, I know them very well.
Yeah, you know them very well. A wonderful young couple. They're with Church Planting America. His vision is to start 5 churches in each of the 5 boroughs of New York City. He's on his 3rd church. This came about through Superstorm Sandy 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it's been now. And a long story with that, but out of that storm came this church, and they're Rockaway Beach Baptist Church. Quite an interesting story. Got a little bitty building to meet in. We were able to help them again out of our funds to be able to get some air conditioning in the building, which they didn't have, and he is a fireball for sure, doing a great job. Let's go to the next one. Thompson family, Oregon. I was just out there 3 weeks ago. Josh Thompson, just a super guy, graduate of Pensacola Christian College. Just a brilliant young man who is doing a phenomenal work. He and his wife, just incredible. They just got into their building, and we were able, again, through these funds to help remodel that building. They spent $16,000 or $18,000 being able to remodel this little building, 5,000 square feet they got, and they're able to do that. But it was the first meeting that they've ever done on off nights. Everything else has been Wednesday and Sunday, and then he wanted to do a revival meeting Sunday through Wednesday, and I went out to do that. He came on Monday night with fear and trembling. Who would show up? But we had a great crowd, and God really blessed. But that's a super young couple, Josh and his wife, Holly. Weatherford family, good old boy from South Carolina, went back to South Carolina and planted this church. And, he's doing a phenomenal job. Unbelievable. We helped him buy land. He bought 2 acres. Then there was 2 more he could get. So I said, get the 2 acres. We helped him with that. And now he's in a building program. And they have had probably 30 or 40 people come to Christ in that church in about 3.5 years. Done a really good job. Winters family, they're in Arkansas, right outside of Memphis, right across the river into Memphis. And that's really a revitalization. There was a little church with about 10 or 12 people in a small building. And Paul went to kind of rescue that situation. Interesting story about Paul. He was on staff at a very large church in Oregon. He was the heir apparent. There are 2 pastors, 2 brothers went and started this church 37 years ago, good friends of mine. and they're getting to that retirement point. They had plugged Paul to be the next pastor of the church. And, I mean, you talk about a gorgeous facility, land, everything is debt-free, unreal. But he said, no, God's called me to go take this little church out here and build it in Arkansas. So he went to do that, and I commend him for that, for sure. Let's see, do we have others? There we go, new church planters. So those guys have been going for a couple of months, or a couple of years, rather, most of those. This family going to Washington, they haven't even started. They're going to start in the spring. Jeremy and his family. Let's go to the next one. Hoxson family, Filipinos. God's given me a real burden and a real inroad to minister to Filipinos out in California. I started preaching in a Filipino church there in 1989, I believe, and there were about as many people in this section when I started that church, started to preach in that church. I didn't start it. And the pastor's a great friend, Larry O'Barrow. I was just there at an admissions conference in that church. They get $400,000 to missions now. They birthed four churches out of their church. One of the churches that they birthed now birthed this church. So it's kind of like the grandson church, if you will. But a great, great ministry. That church on a given Sunday will have 600-700 people in attendance in San Diego, just doing a phenomenal job. Hoxson family, 1 year old. That church is 1 year old. And I was just so honored to be there and spend time with that young pastor. Lugo family had their first Sunday last Sunday, just launched last Sunday, and 67 people. He's right outside of Portland, a town called Wilsonville, Oregon, right outside of Portland. We're so happy he's there. Great guy, Edwin. The Poos family, they're in North Dakota, up where all that oil is taking place, that fracking and drilling and everything that's taking place in Oregon, or excuse me, in North Dakota. That's where the Poos family is. And again, you talk about cold, you talk about lonely. If you've ever been to North Dakota, you know what it is. Small communities, spread out, wind that never stops, incessant. And they're up there planting that church and doing really, really well. God is blessing. Their problem is they meet one place Sunday morning, one place Sunday night, one place Wednesday night. They can't get one place for all three services. So they're in three places. It's tough to build a church that way. Yeah. It's really hard. So they need prayer for that, if you can think to do that. And then let's see, Thompson family. This young man is a great guy, again, a graduate of Trinity. He serves currently, well, he just left a church in the panhandle of Florida, and he was the youth pastor there for about 8 or 9 years, and has a burden to go to Colorado, and he's going to Aurora, Colorado to start a church. And I've spent a lot of time with him. He is sharp as can be. He will do a great job in Aurora. And they are just out raising a little bit of support to go, and then they're going to make the journey, and they're going to start the church Easter Sunday this coming spring. And let's see, who else? Last one, the Walton family. They're from Idaho. Idaho. And that, again, would be one of those states that really need churches. And this family, he comes from a business background, Pastor. He got saved out of the business world and got in a great church and got some theological training. And two pastors that he connected with somehow both told him to get a hold of me. And so we were able to build that relationship and go from that and try to help them. So in all of these cases, we're so grateful how God has opened the door and given us an opportunity to minister to these people. Then the last slide is a reminder about our National Church Planting Month. I want you to pray about that, because it is just imperative that we raise the money that's necessary in order to be able to help these church planters with whatever their needs are. Again, some cases it's land, some cases building, chairs, remodeling, equipment, whatever it might be. In one case, I didn't point it out, we helped them buy a van. They needed to pick up people for their church. So all of that type of thing. And your church has been really, really gracious and good to be involved in that. And I just cannot thank you enough for your participation and partnership with us in church planting.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons, or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.